Well, hello again, everybody out there in downtown Turdville. This is your old pal Turd coming at you with another of the TFMR podcast series. We are fortunate today to get a return visit of the Golden Jackass. This would be the, let's call it the third in the series, Jim. Got a few more things on his mind, a few things I'd like to ask him, and so we thought we'd bring him back in to Turdville and ask a few more questions. Again, Jim, if you recall, is the award-winning author of the award, similarly award-winning, I don't know what awards you've won, but I'm sure you should have won some by now, Jim, of the Golden Jackass website and the Hat Trick Letter. All the information is included here in this podcast. If you want to check out his site and become a subscriber, which I obviously recommend that you do. Jim, you're the man. Welcome back to Turdville.
Oh, it's good to be here. Always good to be with another turd. Imagine the jackass and the turd. That's quite a combination.
Together at last, like gum and nuts. Always just a great combination. I just kind of give everybody a little background about the format today. There's obviously got a number of things we want to talk to Jim about. But I mentioned on TFMR yesterday that we are now finally getting close to opening and unveiling the sister site to TFMR that will be a daily podcast, recorded by yours truly. But the main thing about that site will also offer access, increased access to all the members, not only to what I do, but to people like Jim and other folks that I know in the industry that might be willing from time to time to answer your questions or maybe come on a conference call. In that vein, yesterday I took some questions from the Turdites in the thread that we had yesterday, and we wanted to start today by addressing some of the questions. Time means we don't have time to address all of them, but there were some good ones and some that were mentioned more than once, and so we wanted to start there. So, Jim, question number one, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first question, I guess, it kind of deals with timing, and the idea being we're all expecting gold to ascend in price and reflect ultimately a more true valuation as money. We're also expecting some measure of economic collapse. So the question for you was timing. Do you see those events as being continuing to be gradual, or do you see those events as something that we would just wake up one day and the whole world will be different?
Well, I think the gold price recovery is going to take a while, but there's a project underway, and that's to deplete the gold inventory from the gold cartel member banks. I believe, simply stated, that the gold price will rise with gusto when Eastern entities are finished gathering the cartel gold inventory. And when the Eastern forces really want the price to rise because they can dictate it. They had a 50 billion, as in boy, billion war chest they put together back in November, I was told. And that's specifically for purchasing gold. And they're doing it from the member banks of the cartel, who are in trouble with their sovereign debt of Europe. They're in trouble with their forex positions. The Western cartel banks are quickly losing their ability, though, to defend their naked short positions. Without the metal, they will not be able to defend it. You can't defend a naked short unless you've got some metal. I know there are a lot of anti-idealists out there who say, well, they could short it to the heavens. Well, they're trying to, but they're able to continue only because they have metal. They're losing their metal. When the U.S., London, and Western European system implodes more completely, it's a work in progress. You're going to start seeing failed solutions. And your first hint was this LTRO, the Draghi baby, the stillborn baby, I call it. Draghi is the Euro central banker. Okay, he this long-term refinance operation, it essentially torpedoed Spain and Italy. All right, so failed solutions are going to be an important part of the gold rise. You're going to see some sudden revaluations overnight. That's my expectation. I mean, like you wake up and it's $100 higher. It's $150 higher. And people are wondering, is this a misprint? No, it's not. But we're very likely to see no paper price quoted at all sometime in the not too distant future. I mean, like no paper futures price. There's going to be spot prices in the distance in various markets, but I think we're going to lose our COMEX quote. And I don't know when, maybe several months, I don't know. But look for bank runs. The signal flares are going to be bank runs, bond defaults like in Italy and Spain, spread of contagion to France, failed rescues like something worse and more obvious than LTRO, and grand continued currency debasement. Now, Turd, look for the wild card events. And one of them might be that the euro currency, because of the bank runs, because of problems in various countries, money trying to escape, the wild card could be that the euro stops trading on the Forex.
I'd say that's a bit of a wild card. That would catch everybody by surprise.
Very much. And it could happen with gold no longer quoting a price. I mean, these are strange events, but they're, let's face it, there are a lot of strange things happening.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, I mean, obviously there's some things to look for. How about as we... this ongoing global financial collapse, is that something? I mean, I guess that almost implies kind of a continuing of this gradual process that's been going on at least since 2008, or you could go back even farther than that. But I mean, do you see a similar kind of pathway there?
Well, yeah, we really haven't recovered anything since Lehman Brothers in late 2008. I said back then, that we had a death experience of the U.S. banking industry. What happens if you pump blood transfusions into a dead cadaver at a morgue?
Yeah.
It doesn't respond. Well, they're pumping money into a dead banking system. It's not lending much. They're doing carry trades. They're putting their money in excessive reserve accounts with the Fed to earn money. They're not lending it. They're speculating still, and they're loving this 0%.
Right.
But I think the economy is going to be on a pathway, and it already is, of gradual deterioration. It's heading toward collapse. I laughed 2 months ago when clearly the political campaign trail was trying to make pronouncements that the economy's recovering, and because everything's looking better, vote for me. It just doesn't wash. You're going to get some bank holidays coming before long. They'll probably start in Spain or Italy. In fact, they've already started in Italy. And shockwaves like that will cause some bank failures. You don't have a bank holiday unless you're trying to hide a bank failure.
Right.
It's that simple. And that will start to freeze more economies. And instead of talking about recession, they're going to be talking about something a lot worse. I believe U.S. and Western Europe are in the midst of a galloping recession right now. If any of the big U.S. banks fail, like Morgan Stanley, that's my main candidate, but it could also be Bank of America, you're going to see some shockwaves to the economy. It's going to freeze it. We're going to see some quantum leaps in the damage. It could alter this gradual path that I like to describe as the deterioration.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and the bank, a lot of folks talking about Morgan Stanley lately, but, you know, it seems like everyone's forgotten about Bank of America. It was trading under $5 just a couple of months ago, you know, and they sneakily took whatever that was, $53 trillion in derivatives and moved it from the Merrill Lynch subsidiary into their regular B of A N.A. subsidiary, just in case. I mean, that's one that could come back on the radar, really, it seems like, at any time.
Yeah, that changed the subordination. In other words, the rank of things. So if their financial firm went bust, the credit derivatives would have higher priority over all private accounts,
yeah,
brokerage, savings, everything.
Yeah, isn't that handy?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, very.
All right. So then that leads to, I guess, another question that was mentioned a couple of times in that thread from yesterday. And that was, you know, you mentioned earlier the quantity of gold. We've heard from my contacts have told me this. We've heard from other London contacts on the internet about just a massive drain of physical metal that's been going on ever since this latest beatdown started back on Leap Day, but it really accelerated as price got down under 1600 and silver got under 30. The question then is that people are having is, you know, they're obviously the banks are in a kind of between a rock and a hard place. They want price to go down, and they're covering long held short positions, but at the same time, at such low prices, they're losing all this metal out the back door. Are they letting it happen? And I guess what the question is, all of this metal moving east, is that just simply, are we setting up a brand new system, whether it be a new global system that will be based in the east, or is it just simply a repositioning of the current system with the same old powers that be, but with a more eastern base?
I don't think it's going to be a transformation of our western players moving east and still in control. They're bankrupt. They're insolvent.
Right.
They're illiquid, and they're facing extinction. The new players from the east, when I say east, I'm thinking mainly China, but don't just think China.
Right.
Think Korea, Singapore, Hong Kong. It's a lot more. Asia is very diverse. It's more diverse than some things in North America. But the new players in the east are already planting seeds. Last month, ICBC,
I know it, and it's the
Commerce.
International Bank of something in Commerce. It's a Chinese bank.
Chinese Bank and Commerce. Anyway, Commercial Bank and Commerce. Anyway, ICBC, I mean, who knows what IBM stands for anymore. ICBC and Chinese Construction Bank applied and received licenses to establish branches across the United States. All right, notice that the Chinese did not buy a big stake in several of the big, dead, insolvent U.S. banks. Instead, they're planting seeds.
Excellent.
There's your
point.
Hint. Yeah. There's your hint. But the big event coming, huge, huge event. I can't say, I don't have a big enough word. Massive, colossal event coming is the alternative to the SWIFT banking system transactions, bank settlements. All right, bank A, bank B, they want to make a transaction, so they send money. A company A, company B, they want to make a transaction. They use their... Okay, right now, they're using a SWIFT bank system. It's all dollar-based. That's not going to continue. An alternative is coming, and it's a direct reaction to all the different sanctions and heavy-handed activity and directives issued by the U.S. government. This is coming back as a huge backfire. Again, China is leading this effort. You're going to start seeing trade settlement more and more decentralized. It's not just going to be one country and another country and okay, it's all dollar. No, it's one country, another country, and they're trading with gold like India and Iran. There's so many bilateral deals going on right now. You get enough of them and you've got a fabric.
Right.
Okay, well, eventually this trade settlement is not going to be dollar-based and it's not going to be centralized. I'm hearing that you can even have a BlackBerry finish a transaction and order some payment, and they do so. I'd like to just say I can't get into details, but expect a whiff of gold
yes.
to be involved in the trade settlement. And that could be why you're seeing the 5,000 metric tons. There were just another 550 reported by the London Trader in 4 hours on a single day. What was it, this week or last week? So we're approaching the 6,000 metric tons
right.
in quantity moving east. No, here's the sequence. First, you see trade payments change. Then you see banking systems change to reflect that in the move away from the dollar and its vehicle, the treasury bond. Then you say, okay, we do not have a dollar global reserve currency anymore. The East will become more dominant. I believe they're going to acquire Western banks. They're going to want the offices. They're going to want the branches. They're going to want some of the people. They're going to work deals with major stakes. When China comes in and buys like 8% of a U.S. bank, that's nothing. Now wait for them to come in and buy 28% of a major bank. That's going to be colonization rather than just insurance. The Western bankers are going to try to hold on to power, but they're going to become second fiddles. I mean, some of them, like Rothschild, they already play in Asia, so they're going to maybe have an easier time of staying, you know, in the command center. This is not going to be a dawn process, as one questioner asked. I think it's going to be more like a transformation with widespread seeding and the dollar being isolated.
Well, and we're, again, as you said, we're already seeing this happen. What, it was just a week, 10 days ago, that the deal was announced that China and Japan would trade exclusively in the yen and the yuan?
Yes.
I mean, these are, I mean, geez, anybody that knows our history knows that there's no love lost there. They've been adversaries for centuries. And now they're pals.
They're the two biggest, Turd.
Yeah.
The two biggest players in Asia. They're not going to trade in dollars.
Yeah.
My gosh, that's writing on the bathroom wall. That's writing on a freaking billboard.
Yeah. If you can't see this coming, yes, that's true. I wrote about that a couple weeks ago, called it Connecting the Dots, and said if, you know, even Ray Charles could see this coming over the horizon, there's no doubt about it. All right, let's move on to another question. As you look over the horizon at this brave new world that is coming, alliances, be they economic or political or even military, are going to be changing. What are you hearing? I mean, do you see some of that already coming?
It must have been 18 months ago that my best source, he's a European banker, and he approached me. He approached me way back in March and April of 08. And he said, "You're one of the few guys who really gets it of all the North American writers regarding gold." And I said, "Well, thanks, but what do you want?" He said, I want to provide you more information because you're seeing a good bit of it. I want to fill in some of the blanks." Well, he told me way back in the beginning of, I think it was maybe the middle of 2010, late 2010, when Greece was falling apart. He said, "Look, there's a new alliance." He said, "Call it the Eastern Alliance. It really doesn't have a name, but it's made up of four different players and three primary players. It's the Germans with their intelligence, their planning, their engineering expertise, their consulting, their market management. It's the Russians with their vast resources, energies, and metals, along with their vast pipelines and train systems even.
Yep.
It's the Chinese with their industry and their cash, their vast factory base, their consumer mall exports. They've got malls all over the Middle East. They got malls now in Spain. They weren't there 5 years ago. But they've got a lot of cash. They got those reserves. They got those almost $3 trillion in reserves. The usage of this Chinese cash will act like a blood drainage process of Uncle Sam in intensive care. He's going to come out a hollowed creature that will not be able to walk.
Zombies.
The zombie. The Persian Gulf is the other tag-along. It's the fourth player. What they do is they wait for the critical mass to form. They look to see who the next winner is, and then they ask for protection so they can continue to pillage the natural resources of their lands. That's protection in exchange for their wealth preservation. Yep. Very simple.
Yep.
Very simple. Each nation might soon produce its own gold-backed currency. This is something that it's kind of a favorite theme of mine. You cannot replace a failed paper currency with a different paper currency.
Exactly.
Just like you cannot replace Spanish and Italian and Greek bonds with a higher level, more senior subordinated bond. Bonds based on paper cannot replace bonds that failed based on paper. It's like a law of the jungle.
Right.
Okay. Well, given that, you're going to need some gold-backed currencies. Excuse me. I believe eventually you're going to see something like a euro mark. It's going to be gold-backed after the South is cut off like fat. I mean, here's the dinner table. Here's a nice piece of meat. Let's trim off this fat. It's all the Southern European nations, including France. France is a pig wrapped in Teutonic clothing. France is a pig by virtue of its great debt, by virtue of its pretending to act like a big banker. It's saddled with pig debt, therefore it is a pig. All right, so a euro mark is one. I expect a ruble to come out of Russia that could eventually be not gold-backed, but maybe gold and oil backed.
Yeah.
Gold, oil, and natural gas. I mean, Russia's in command of tremendous liquefied natural gas resources.
Yep.
The third could be Chinese yuan. They're already now preparing for a full convertibility, which means you can trade it for any other major currency. And then comes the Gulf dinar, only when the other three are ready, because let's face it, the Persian Gulf is not a leading nation. They don't really do much of anything on their own. They wait for someone to usher them in.
Right.
So a loud gong of alliance arrival, I believe, will be sounded when the Saudis announce that you don't necessarily need dollars for oil payment, and that is the death of the petrodollar. Mm-hmm. And that will result in all kinds of nations no longer storing up treasury bonds. That will result in the Fed being the only buyer of treasury bonds, and that will be the preliminary event, I believe, to the U.S. government debt default. The alliance hits the stage, though, when the Western monetary system and economies crash, and they're in the process of crashing right now, Turd.
Right, right. And in preparation, knowing, not even just since 2008, I mean, they've obviously known this was coming, that this crash that began then has continued to this day and is now in its kind of final acceleration. Bless you. So they've been working on this plan behind the scenes. Any thinking group, any thinking government would be planning for that, be it the Russians, as you said, the Chinese, whomever. So this is all getting set up behind the scenes, the transfer of the gold, the purchase of the gold and transfer of it from London to points east is part of that. And as everything unravels and unwinds, this new system, these new alliances will step to the forefront, correct?
I believe so. They're waiting for the crash and collapse. They don't want to be blamed for the Western collapse. They want to say,
right,
no, we stepped in to offer something after your collapse.
We saved the day. Right. Okay. Let's get you one more question. This gets to right to the heart of TF Metals Report, actually, where we talk all the time about metals manipulation. Some folks like to think that we talk about it too much and try to blame every up and down tick on manipulation, which obviously isn't true. But the footprints are clearly there if you know where to look in the data from the CFTC or wherever. So the question to you then was, do you think that the banks, read just JP Morgan, but then the others that work with them, Deutsche Bank or whomever, do they work, I guess, to their own best interest, or are they working at the behest of the Fed? I think you know where I feel. I've always stood that they're helping Fed manage monetary policy. But that's not, they weren't looking, nobody was looking for my opinion. They all know my opinion. What do you think? What is the ultimate, what's behind the metals manipulation?
I think it's appropriate to think of it as like a board of directors at the Fed and a bunch of senior executive vice presidents running the corporation. The Fed is a group of major bankers whose operating arm is JP Morgan. The U.S. Fed is owned by a bunch of different banker families. They come from the United States, London, Switzerland, and Germany. They're all over the place, and they're very quiet. Regard the Fed as the godfather for Wall Street, London, and Swiss banks. I mean, they get a phone call, like for instance, in late 2011, the Fed got a phone call from the Wall Street banks that said, hey, wait a minute, we can't handle all these swap contracts for dollars to help out the European banks. You got to help us. So in comes the Fed, and they announce a dollar swap facility because the Wall Street banks were a bit overcommitted. And I call that building the line of contagion. When the European banks fail, so will Wall Street. It's that simple.
Yeah.
They're all committed together. All right, so there's no important decision made by the U.S. Fed without the best interests of Wall Street kept in mind, like the board of directors they consult with their senior executive vice presidents. The U.S. Fed coordinates its gold price intervention with the Department of Treasury, the defenders of the dollar, the strong dollar policy architects. And what do they do it with? The Exchange Stabilization Fund. I like to think of it as three major banks: Deutsche Bank in Germany, Barclays in London, and JP Morgan in the United States. They work together. They always work together.
Mm-hmm. And they've been successful in managing the ascent, I guess, over the last 10 or 12 years. I find it funny how there are folks out there now trying to claim that that bull market is over in gold, and that when paper price declines on days and you look at the volume, that somehow there's assumed to be an actual physical seller behind the paper price decline, as if people that actually own physical gold are saying, oh, get me out. I don't want to own this anymore at $1,600. I want to sell this and go back into dollars.
Now, Turd, my view is very similar to yours. When the gold price comes down hard, or comes down, you know, not so hard, it's not 100% due to manipulation and naked shorting. It's only 95% due.
It's about right.
So it's almost always due. You cannot have an entire year of silver mine output sold in 1 hour and come around and say, no, this is from physical sale. It's nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
95% of the time, it's from gigantic naked shorting. And often it's done in the middle of the night. Often it's done in the early morning hours before New York has its dawn. It's obvious.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
But in the last couple of months, though, I got to say this. The Eastern entities are saying, all right, you want to do a naked short? Fine, we'll send it down another $100 and we'll force margin call sales off the market and drain your gold, you cartel bank. And that's what's been going on. These aren't just ordinary sales. They're off-market cash transactions for gold, forced on margin calls, forced against these banks that are badly insolvent and have, you know, positions that have gone against them, like, you know, buying up a bunch of Italian and French and Greek and Spanish bonds. They're very vulnerable.
So, Jim, do you mind if we expand on that just a second? Because I know people would say, what margin calls? What do you mean? You're talking about a bank receiving a margin call because of positions, whether they be credit default swaps or whatever, positions that have moved against them, and the entity on the other end, maybe a sovereign of some kind or an Eastern bank or something, inflicts what is basically a margin call upon said bullion bank and says, okay, we'll tell you what, give us your gold and we'll call it even.
Well, yeah, that's basically it. But they're also kind of putting a gun to their heads. Give us your gold or you know, we're going to force your failure.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. Tomorrow morning. You know, this is all part of the deleverage process, which has really been in the news quite a lot. Basel II, Basel III rules. You know, Wall Street banks complaining about, you know, the forced requirements on reserves. It's all affecting these big banks. Look at it this way. The big banks are being forced to increase their reserves at a time when they're losing money with the sovereign bonds of Europe, at a time when they're losing money with the euro going down, mm-hmm. at a time when they've already lost a lot of money with mortgage bonds. So they're being forced to raise their reserves when they're losing money, and now they're being stripped of their gold. And I ask the basic question, Turd, what is their legitimate wealth in reserves left that's not toxic paper?
Right, right.
That's how they fail. There's an old equation I like to cite because I'm a mathematician. Insolvency plus illiquidity equals bankruptcy. These companies, these financial firms in Wall Street, they've been insolvent since Lehman Brothers failed. Remember in April 1st, 2009, the Financial Accounting Standards Board declared, you can declare any value you want for your assets, you big banks. Isn't that nice?
Yep.
I mean, only one time in my high school career was I able to grade my own papers. that's what's going on. That's grading the balance sheet. I did very well with that algebra test.
I would imagine. Did you give yourself a good grade like the banks have done?
Well, I made sure I had a couple things wrong.
Well, I suppose that's true. You don't want to make it up. But that's a great metaphor for what they've done. They were allowed, and FASB changed the rules under what seemed to be intense political pressure at the time to allow these banks to just say, no. This isn't worthless. We can either hold it to this maturity at, you know, in 2027 and we'll get our money back then. So in the meantime, I think we should be able to value this at, say, 90 or par.
Well, what they did was they valued it at book. They valued it at original purchase and ignored their entire losses on mortgage assets. So these banks are far more frail. I call them hollow reeds.
Right.
And now the storm that's knocking over the hollow reeds is Europe. I said this a year ago, 18 months ago. Greece is not unique. It's not one-off. It's going to spread to Italy and Spain. And when it does, it's going to hit London. So it's happening.
Right, right, right. I heard him talking on the radio this morning about U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and the others who are making some rather silly statements. One of them was Bill Kristol. Are you familiar with Bill Kristol? The kind of neocon, commenter?
Uh-huh.
He said, you know what, I don't understand how these politicians can claim that Europe is affecting the U.S. Nothing that happens in Europe is affecting the U.S. economy. That's silly.
Well, they're directly related, and the conduit, the conduit is swaps that Wall Street wrote in late 2011. It's going to haunt them. It's going to haunt them until they're dead.
Well, and if people that are allegedly in the know are that completely in the dark about the inner workings of global finance, just makes you wonder.
I don't pay any attention at all to what politicians say about finance. It's a comedy.
Yes, and often a misdirection as opposed to any actual useful knowledge. All right, given that, let's kind of head into what you've been talking about recently. When we spoke earlier, I guess back in May, we talked about the metaphor you were using then, the Tower of Babel. And I think as we spoke, you came up with an even a better one to describe what is happening with the rally in Treasury bonds. And that's a black hole, in that everything is getting sucked into the Treasury market. That process certainly seems to be continuing. You want to talk a little bit more about the black hole and what it means going forward?
Well, sure. I mean, the Tower of Babel is a Treasury bond. It gets higher each year with additional deficits, and they're trying to maintain it at 0%, which means it's going to be a very narrow base, and it cannot withstand storms. I don't say one replaces the other as a metaphor. When the tower collapses, you get the black hole. The funny thing about the tower is that when it starts to collapse, it'll appear to be still growing higher. That's the paradox.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's the black hole.
The Treasury bond will fail from its own success and rally. Okay, a complex U.S. Treasury bond and IRS swap structure. It's collapsing. It's together. They're happening together. I was told by a really great source, again, my European banker, he's been so excellent. He's been spot on with so many things, and if anything, he's a month early on some things, so I can't say, oh, I'm sorry, you're wrong on that. He just says, well, give it a little more time, and I say, oh, a little more cooking. Okay, the trigger has been pulled from deep inside the Treasury bond and derivative complex. A trigger has been pulled. The collapse will occur progressively, and it cannot be stopped. It will continue until the Treasury bond fails as a sovereign bond, just like Europe. Maybe it will not fail from a rising bond yield. Maybe it will fail from reaching 1%, sucking in everything around it, like junk bonds and standard corporate bonds and mortgage bonds and private label mortgage bonds and all the stock market that private owners own. I mean, this is what black holes do. The government debt has gotten too large, and the Fed dependence has gotten too great to buy up. I got a figure yesterday, 69% of all Treasury bond sales last year were from the Fed. They no longer talk about what countries were the buyers of the latest auction because it's too embarrassing. Mm-hmm. It's primarily the Fed and nickels and dimes to add to the rest. And you got some pension funds in the U.S. that are buying some. You got, you know, Bill Gross at the Total Return Fund at PIMCO. They're buying some. No, I don't know who pulled this trigger. I don't know whether it was natural. But I do know that you've got Weimar meeting Ponzi here. The Weimar element is the treasuries being purchased from debt monetization from the Fed printing press. The Ponzi is that you redeem, like Operation Twist was pure Ponzi. Let's redeem the short term and let's buy long term. Well, that's like saying I'm going to pay off Joe because Mike just invested in my Ponzi pyramid scheme. This is precisely Weimar meaning Ponzi, and it cannot last. Turd, it cannot last.
I'm thinking as you, I mean, again, I love the black hole metaphor because that's, you can see this happening now, and I'm wondering if it isn't, there could be a natural component because as collapse and concern takes place and sovereign debt problems in Europe and everything else is going on, even the all the way down to, you know, what's happening in Syria and Iran and the geopolitical stuff, that causes this, you know, what the media has always called a flight to safety. And so other assets, risk assets, get sold, as you mentioned, high yield bonds or stocks or whatever, that stuff gets sold and that money gets fed into that treasury black hole. And as that sucks in more and more assets, there's more and more money. There's less and less to support all these other financial instruments, which kind of creates its own momentum. And the black hole continues, and then everything gets worse outside of the treasury market, which then turns around and sucks in even more, and it creates its own momentum and its own gravity like a black hole. Is that the right way to look? Is that my description?
Yes. And in the process, the treasury bond is destroyed by its own success. It has no competitors. It has taken everything. It's eaten the whole dinner. The rest of the family is dead. They have nothing to eat. But there's something internal to the U.S. It has nothing to do with foreign nations that adds to the dynamics of this internal black hole. Goldman Sachs has some hedging of their credit default swaps that's exactly opposite to J.P. Morgan. You've got Bank of America, Citigroup. These are very big entities. The four big banks command, I think it's like 90-92% of all the derivative action, Morgan right. Stanley. So they cannot be coordinated. You've got arrogance and hubris involved where J.P. Morgan says, no, we got the smartest guys around. We got the whale, Ixel.
Yeah.
No, we don't want you guys. I mean, you retire, but we don't want you to join us because we're better. We have higher standards. They can't coordinate in that kind of a rivalry environment. So you're going to get accidents, and you're going to get, say, a dumb move done by Morgan Stanley or a dumb move done by Citigroup. And J.P. Morgan's going to have to react to the dumb move because it gets amplified with all the leverage, and they're not going to be able to. These are how internal accidents happen. But I think it's something a lot more devious, perhaps, that some Eastern entity decided to get in there, and through their friends at Barclays or their friends at Deutsche Bank, they went in and they just dropped a little torpedo by selling this or that, causing the process to continue. And yeah. And it's gonna have a pathogenesis that's gonna be alarming. I mean, 6 months from now, we're still gonna be talking about the J.P. Morgan losses. I find it amusing in articles and television clips and whatever, they say the $2 billion that J.P. Morgan lost. Well, they already admitted that it's at least three and probably five, and Wall Street Journal already came out with an argument that it's eight, yet clowns say you're $2 billion loss.
Right.
Well, gosh, what if they said it was only half a billion and they corrected themselves an hour later? Would the idiots still say it's half a billion? I mean, get real, people.
Apparently. That's exactly what they would do. It's probably a whole other subject. But as this – okay, so then – as this unwinds, I don't want to go back to the U.S. for just a second, because one of the things that I still have trouble getting my hands around, and maybe you can give me a metaphor for this one. We're at 16 point some odd trillion and counting in just regular, I guess we'll call it notional debt without talking about all the unfunded liabilities. Debt to GDP is now 105%, probably, and that's such a funky way to measure it anyway, because GDP measurements are such a joke. But nonetheless, it's you know, at this banana republic type level. We all sit here and say that, you know, that devaluation is the only way that the U.S. will ever be able to pay this stuff off, and that you print new money and so you pay off yesterday's debts with the cheaper money of tomorrow. But how can that be an orderly process? I mean, How does that ultimately work, Jim? I mean, how does the U.S. devalue and avoid default, or do they just default, or have you thought out that far? I mean, how do you see that playing out?
Well, you can't have a devaluation in order to put the country on the right footing. You still have a $1.5 trillion deficit.
Right.
Look, we're not even talking about look at two things: the war and the super committee. The war is responsible for at least $200-300 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
They're not cutting it back. Okay, then you've got last summer a farcical display on stage where a super committee was formed with
right.
six members of the Congress, and they disbanded.
Right, right.
You've got a dysfunctional Congress, and you've got a war that will not end.
We're
not going to devalue in order to handle the deficit. We're just going to crash. We're going to have a Weimar explosion where the only buyer of the deficit turned into debt securities, treasury bonds, will be the Fed.
Right. Well, they already are, but
okay,
yes.
Here's something you probably never even thought of, but this came to me from a conversation with my main European banker contact. He said, Jim, think about this. Imagine you're an owner, one of the owners, partner in the Fed. You're seeing everything turn to crap. You're seeing the balance sheet expand beyond description. You're seeing loss after loss. You're seeing bailouts that will not come back, like with a bond rally that happens later from economic development. Now, you're getting bond rally now. It's part of the black hole implosion.
Right.
Usually when the bonds rally, it's because you're getting economic growth and all the savings is going to fund the bonds, more demand for bonds. He said, imagine you're a partner. You're probably just going to pull the plug on the Fed and say, we don't want any more losses. We're resigning our contract with the Congress. We're not going to be your central bank anymore. That's another avenue for the default, and it's far more likely than some silly devaluation. Now, I think we're going to eventually see the dollar split into two, foreign held and domestically held inside the United States. The foreign is going to be honored, and the domestic dollar is going to have a 3-to-1 devaluation.
Jesus, Jim, that's one of those things you're talking about, the Fed. That's like waking up one day and not seeing a quote on the euro versus any other currency. Nobody's thinking or talking or planning ahead for something like that, but once you mention it, you can sure see where that could happen.
Well, 2 years ago, nobody was talking about Spain and Italy entering a bond default.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah, I did. I like to think ahead. I like to think ahead, and two things are not part of my forecast tools: illusion and hope. I don't care about what should be. I care about what is. I don't care about what I would want and what would be good for the country. I care about the path we're on that's got momentum.
Nope, you're right. That ended well, and you got to focus on that stuff, that's for sure. But look over the horizon and use your brains, trust your instincts, and project.
Get logical. Stick with your logic.
All right.
Just simply put, the Treasury cannot be put back in balance. The treasury bonds cannot be put back in balance. Where are you going to find the creditors to buy? What are they going to use to buy the treasury bonds? The 0% is killing the U.S. economy forcing a recession.
Right.
Logically, there is no solution. So you continue to kick the can down the road till you run out of road.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to the end of the map, where the map stops, and beyond there, there'd be dragons.
And, or a cliff.
Or a cliff. And yeah, exactly. What's left? And again, the people that think that there's some normal, that somehow the U.S. economy is going to recover and therefore will return to some normal-shaped yield curve and 10-year rates at 5% or 6%, they're crazy. I mean, already... Right. What was the interest component on the U.S. federal debt last year? $450 billion at an average maturity of 3.5 years, an average coupon of 3%. I mean, if that goes to 6, you're talking $900 billion.
Right. The Treasury yield curve is going to resemble the flat line of a dead guy in intensive care.
Yeah, zero. Just zero across the board. Or damn close.
Well, if the 10-year goes to 1 and the 30-year goes to 2, you're pretty much at a flat line.
Might as well be. Might as well be. And isn't a flat or even, you know, that's not a sign of economic growth, at least was never traditionally interpreted as being one. No, it's going to get worse. Do you have any, let's see, as we kind of move towards the end here, it is election year. A lot of folks say that the Fed won't act with any, well, they may not have a choice, but if given a choice, the Fed won't act with any voluntary overt quantitative easing plans before the election because it would be too hot of a political football. Any thoughts about that? Or any? I mean, does the election in the U.S. even matter? Does it matter if Obama wins?
I kind of laugh at questions regarding QE. I really do.
Right.
This wouldn't be QE3. It would be QE175.
Yeah, exactly. It implies that it stopped at some point. That
right.
There is no current QE, so when's it going to restart? I mean, it's a false premise to begin with.
It never stopped.
Well, that's why...
Buying treasury bonds every month, Turd.
Right. Well, no, what
that's QE.
The key word that I used was overt. You know, whether...
Yeah. No, I don't care about overt. I care about real. Again, I don't deal with illusion or hope. I deal with real.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be called Captain Pragmatic when I was in college. You know, basic man and the pragmatist. I mean, that's the way I am. I just don't deal with nonsense. Okay, the QE, it never ended. Japan had a gigantic QE 2 months ago. They're talking about a new QE now. They're part of what I call global QE. The dollar swap facility that was ripe in early 2012 and late 2011, that was QE. We didn't call it QE3. I don't care what those idiots call it.
Right.
It's QE to infinity.
Yes.
It never stopped.
Did you see the Nigel Farage, I guess, speech from the floor of the European Parliament today? Have you seen that yet? Okay. There's a great line in there where he's explaining this. I guess everybody wants to call it a bailout of Spain. And that, did you know, have you heard this? 20% of those bailout funds are supposed to come from Italy. And he says,
I heard something like that over the weekend. I mean, I heard that there's not enough money to do the bailout that they've made commitments for. And furthermore, I like to point out something regarding the Germans. The German politicians make a bailout agreement, then the German bankers say no. Then they go back and the politicians make another bailout agreement, then the German bankers say no. And after about 5 iterations, the bankers finally agree to something, provided there's adequate collateral. Then the politicians make another agreement, and the bankers say no. And then the politicians make another agreement, and the bankers say, okay, you get the idea. That's what's happening. The Germans have about 4 or 5 times as many proposed solutions as the bankers agree to. Who's got control of Germany? The bankers. And by the way, Deutsche Bank just fired, a little while ago, Joseph Ackermann.
Right.
Their CEO. Would that be big news if J.P. Morgan fired Diamond?
I would think that would probably at least make the back pages of the New York Times.
They'd put it between some comic strips.
Yes.
Oh, boy. So, you know, the bailout of Spain is going to be a comedy of failures. And it could be something that fails a lot worse than the stillborn baby that Draghi produced with the LTRO.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they say,
you know, we're waiting for some shockwaves, Turd. We're waiting for some. And I think that the pretended bailout that you get for Spain could be a shockwave.
Well, they say Italy may run out of cash in a couple of weeks the way things are going. And again, that was Nigel Farage's point. He said, okay, so now you're going to ask Italy, who's next, to contribute $20 billion, which now they're going to have to go borrow at 7%.
Yeah, well, there are other European nations saying that Italy's going to be next, too. And it's really pissing off Monti, who I think is going to get thrown off the palace balcony before too long.
Probably. Exactly. Have the same fate as John Paul I. Well,
Let's not get into that.
no, God, Jim, no, stop. Pretend I didn't even say that. Let's just stop there. All right, my friend. Well, it's going to be a long, hot summer. It's only going to get more interesting. I hope you've been very generous with your time in coming here and sharing your opinions and your advice for all of us here in Turdland. I hope you grant us the continued access to that gigantic brain of yours.
Oh, yeah. Brainiac. Have you seen my cartoon photo?
Yes, we have that on the site. Yes.
That's great. I'd like to make a conclusion point, if you don't mind.
No, you can't. I'm not going to let you.
Okay. A lot of people are wondering, when's this gold bowl going to run out of steam? And I say, as long as 0% is the official interest rate for the U.S. Fed, the gold bowl is in place. It's that simple.
Period.
Because ruining money and the 0% is destroying capital, which ruins the economy slowly with the deterioration process. 0% increases the investment of commodities, which raises the capital, raises the commodity costs, raises the cost structure for companies. As their profit margins dwindle, they shut down equipment, they close down unsuccessful business units that don't make a profit, and you get less capital that's actively working. The working capital shrinks, it retires. As long as you've got 0% in place, you're going to have economic deterioration, larger federal budget deficits, and a continued bull market because the real rate of interest, subtracting inflation, is negative. It's that simple.
Yes.
The gold bull will be in place as long as the majority of U.S. Treasury bonds are bought with printed money from the Fed. That's the Weimar cylinder. So the gold bull from 0%, gold bull from your Weimar cylinder, this has still got a long way to go. I remember clowns asking me, "Gee, Jim, we just hit 1,000 for gold. Isn't this bull run over?" I said, "What's the interest rate?" He said, "It's a little above zero, isn't it?" And I said, "Zero means gold bull." And he said, "But wait a minute, you've had such a big run." And I say, "Zero means gold bull. What part of that did you not understand?" And he said, "Well, I guess a lot of it." I said, "Well, then you need to sign up for the hat trick letter." But as long as you've got 0%, you've got falsely priced money, you've got attraction of alternatives to the dollar and alternatives to paper itself. You're going to get economic destruction from capital. Just undermine. You cannot keep businesses going with the cost structure rising. It's still rising. And one of the most obscene things the Fed is doing is they're trying to bring about some economic deterioration to reduce the final demand on commodities. So you've got the Fed in there stirring the toilet that's become a black hole. This is not going to end well. It's going to end in a treasury bond default. I think they're going to try to do a restructure of the treasury bonds held by foreigners. They're going to be held at a point of a gun to give 35% forgiveness. It's not going to work because the next year will be almost $2 trillion in deficits. But by then, it'll be well known the Fed is the only buyer, and Weimar is going to become a common household word that you hear. So anyway, that's my little final speech.
Well, Jim, that was such a pleasant way to end things.
It's real.
I
Don't
know,
think
I know,
in
I know.
hope or illusion.
It is what it is. Exactly. And you can either, if you're listening to this, you can either bury your head in the sand and hope that tomorrow will be just like yesterday and that the status quo of what you've always known will prevail, or you can trust your instincts, know what you've learned, and take action and prepare.
Or be like my family. Oh, I got a brother. He's a smart guy. He said, "But Jim, the U.S. always finds a way out."
Ay, ay, ay.
And I said, "Well, this time they shipped industry to China and lost the traction for the 0% recovery. It's not there.
Yeah.
We went from the low-cost solution in China, which traded our factories for home equity loan withdrawals. How'd that work out?
Yeah.
I don't care about gee, that's going to hurt a lot of people. I don't care about, well, the U.S. always bounces back. What I care about is our banks are insolvent, our households are insolvent, our government's insolvent, we're in an endless war, and we can't stop the budget deficits with a simple super committee.
Can't be fixed, can't be stopped, can it?
No, I don't think so.
Well, Jim, again, thank you. I think everybody here in Turdland has really appreciated the time you spent with us. And if you haven't already signed up for the Hat Trick Letter, I suggest you give it some serious thought. The link is, again, as I said, is right here on the site. Check it out. Jim's massive brain is always thinking. Trust me, I get messages from him at like 3 a.m. because he's thinking.
Because I can't sleep.
There's so much going on. So anyway, Jim, thank you. And I hope we can do this again soon. And hopefully we have time to do this again soon, that there won't be, you know, the whole world's not going to fall apart before we talk again. But again, thank you for spending some time. And I wish you the best.
My pleasure. And hope people go to goldenjackass.com and take a look around. There's some free stuff on there.
Oh, that's true, too. All right. Yeah. Please check it out. Jim, thank you. We'll visit again, hopefully soon.
Okay.